Fly down, rainbows in the sky, let's fly away. Like a bird, you're free to see the boundless face of the earth. Let the wind blow you like a kite. Hello everyone, and welcome back to Destructo Discourse. That's the name of this one again. No more energy discs.
We plumb run out.
You have arrived at episode 36 of Destructo Discourse. This is a Dragon Ball Z rewatch podcast. I'm your host, Tyler, and joining the discourse on this episode is Jason.
Hi.
Dave.
Hello.
Matt.
What's up?
Aaron.
Hey.
And Gordy.
Hello.
And this week we are closing out season 3, as it's designated by Funimation, of the hit anime Dragon Ball Z.
Oh, good it lord, I thought it was season 2 for a second.
Season 3.
How did we get here? How did this happen?
Season 3 of 9.
I'm gonna cry.
Well, there's this thing called the passage of time.
Which we haven't been given much confidence in by the last few episodes.
Mm-mm. Yeah, we need to reestablish our relationship with time.
Good thing I'm here. The keeper of clocks, the voice of seconds.
The Jason the time wizard.
The master of minutes. The lord of leap years.
Was that a Goldo voice?
The sultan of seconds?
Is that where this is going? I still cannot for the life of me remember what Goldo's voice sounds like, because I had to do it in the Ginyu intro, and like I still, if pressed, could not do Goldo's voice.
That's probably like a blessing on your part.
To be fair, he is there and gone pretty quick.
you're too good of a person to do Goldo's.
It's an
voice.
Unreasonable expectation of anybody, honestly.
Including the voice actor.
Yeah,
right.
No one wants to be known at the party for like, it's like, what do you do? Well, I play guitar really well. What do you do? I'm a really great Goldo impersonator.
The yogurt boy.
The most minor talent.
from the Dairy Squad.
Like, there was that one movie that Red Letter Media reviewed where somebody in it was credited on the back as having been in the West Wing, and he's like aide number 3 in the back of a scene in one episode, and who was not actually credited in the show.
You gotta take what you can get, even if you give it to yourself. On this show, every week we cover 3 episodes of aforementioned hit anime Dragon Ball Z, and this week we're covering episodes 106, 107, and 108. 106 and 107 are the end of season 3. 108 is the start of season 4.
Mm-hmm. It's a turning point.
But we do 3 episodes on this dang show, so we're going to jump ahead to season 4.
We're going
to
give you a little taste, a little aperitif.
Honestly, it's a lot of taste. It's a lot more taste than I thought we got.
It's a very, very spicy taste.
Yeah. It's like when you pour milk on your cereal, except it isn't milk, it's orange juice, and you eat it, and it's like, bah!
Oh, no!
What is this? Who is this?
Also, you just brushed
Why
your
teeth.
Why
do I care?
Cereal crime.
There is nothing that you can put in cereal that isn't milk that's good.
That's legal, yeah.
That's legal.
That is legal. It is a crime.
If you put orange juice in it, you go to jail.
Well, it was an accident, officer, I swear.
I did orange juice and honeycomb once, and that was just a grim mistake.
You did honeycomb in college one time?
The thing is, orange juice is very acidic. So it kind of just turns that cereal into gloop really quickly.
Yeah.
Let's talk about anything else.
You don't want to hear about my bad milk?
I want to hear about your bad milk, Aaron.
Your gray milk.
I ran out of milk once, and I was too, tired and lazy to
Young and foolish.
Go run and get some milk from the gas station. So I used coffee creamer. And I mixed it with some water to kind of water it down.
That's pretty much the same. Yeah.
No, it was very bad.
Oh, no. I was giving a benefit of a doubt. I was, like, tilting my head, like, maybe?
See, that's what I did.
Visually, it's very similar.
I will never make that mistake again.
It is at least a reasonable assumption to make at first,
right,
I think.
Right.
Like, you are in the same neighborhood.
The, at sentencing, the judge will be sympathetic.
So speaking of Dragon Ball Z...
Dragon Ball Z?
let's speak about Dragon Ball Z now. We are, for the most part, watching the Funimation dub of Dragon Ball Z. Occasionally, we'll check in with the subs. I did not this week. I don't know if anyone else did.
There were a couple times I popped over to see what was up.
I took most of this at face value because I just liked all of it.
It's very good.
I was curious, but I didn't have time to pop over and see.
I did it for the intro just once to remember what it sounds like.
What a good theme song sounds like.
Yeah.
Instead of a bad one.
106, the English title is Namek's Explosion... ... Goku's End? ...
Oh, no.
It's very good.
I forgot to heavily
punctuated title.
After last week, I forgot to check if there's a different number of... I'm just realizing now that I forgot to check if there's a different number of exclamation point marks and question marks in the actual episode as opposed to in the Funimation app. I feel like we have to keep... If we don't keep Funimation straight on this, then no one's going to.
Yeah, right. Literally no one else will.
In the world.
The Japanese title of 106 roughly translates to Planet Namek's Great Explosion! With 2 exclamation points. Goku disappears into space.
Yeah,
do
that's
you
accurate.
Think,
it's even think, more vague than the English one.
Do you think that they have a full-time person on staff whose job it is to write episode titles?
That's all they contribute to the writing of the show?
Because this is an art. and this person is clearly a master of it.
I do hope that they have sort of like a Dickensian deal worked out where they get paid by the word.
That'd be pretty solid.
Sentence. That's why you need so much punctuation.
That's right, just so you get paid by the punctuation mark.
So the planet, Namek, is now finally actively exploding.
Woo!
So five minutes has elapsed.
Finally.
All 5 of them.
Goku is rushing around trying to formulate some kind of an escape route off of this planet. King Kai finally lets the Z crew know that Frieza is in fact dead this time.
After the last episode of last time... Tien starting this episode by asking, King Kai, has anything happened? Just echoed my feelings exactly.
Buddy.
With his reaction to King Kai telling them that Frieza has been defeated, I just wrote down, Tien is back on his bullshit.
Yep.
Oh, yes.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. That means Goku's the strongest in the universe.
Can't wait to spar with Goku.
Tien. You're
gonna see how I stand up to him.
My dude.
He did. He did defeat the Ginyu Force.
Yeah, how's Tien's spirit bomb?
Oh yeah,
not great. Tien, I'm pretty sure you couldn't properly spar with Goku's shadow.
Did they practice any of these things? King Kai has not really been teaching them so much as just yelling commentary.
Right.
So I'm really not sure what kind of training they're getting at this
yeah,
point.
Yeah, the lesson plan did kind of diverge to just watching Goku fight.
Well, now, yeah. Well, I mean, that's probably better training than anything that King Kai could actually...
I mean, it's not bad. Like, if you want to do something well, like, learn to do something well, you watch or listen to people who are really good at it.
You go tune into Goku's stream.
Right.
Could at least
Goku's Twitch stream.
Yeah.
Yeah. Even before that, all he did was have them fight each other and eat.
Yeah.
Like no techniques were passed down.
Well, now you've got me thinking about the idea of sparring with spirit bombs. Like, if there's more than one person who knew how to do the spirit bomb, could you...
Hey, just throw them at each
could
other.
Could you practice by throwing them at each other?
Be a good way to kill a planet.
I'd say...
Well, you can bounce them back.
Right, whoa. Yeah. I was gonna say it's a volleyball at that point. You just use one.
So King Kai says that everything is fucked and Goku's gonna die, but he, quote, hasn't given up hope. Not yet. In blatant denial of his own historical behavior.
Fucking prove it, King Kai.
Yeah, that is an outright lie.
I really like Tien Yamcha and them's reaction to him saying, doesn't matter, he's gonna die anyway, as if he hasn't been saying this the entire 15
right.
minutes that they've been fighting.
That two, 3, and 5 minutes ago.
I know that I have not been in, like, King Kai's corner for the majority of this podcast, but I'm very cross with him this week, and we'll get to that. He's telling some outright fibs.
He says and then immediately forgets that there's another spaceship besides Frieza's.
Not just one other. You remember, the Ginyu Force each came in their own pod.
Oh, yeah!
I thought those, like, exploded in style.
Goku finds Frieza's ship, but it's pretty banged up.
Saiyans do not believe in doors.
Yeah, I don't know what his plan is. I'm like, did you go for the ship that Vegeta just punched, like, a jillion fucking holes in?
I don't know if he knew about that. Like, he landed near it and didn't have a lot of time to... He spent
he
most of his time
in it, wasn't he?
He was
yeah,
in it.
Maybe he was in a room that didn't have a giant hole in the ceiling.
Didn't take a look around. Yeah.
He busted
even
his
if
own
it were
okay.
Out.
Now hang on, Jason. I want you to listen to what you just said. Does being observant and paying attention to his surroundings, does that sound like the Goku you know?
That's not the Son Goku way.
Is that a true blue Son Goku move?
He does have a battle mode in which he is much better at paying attention to things.
Yeah. Well, I noticed that as he's like running through the ship, where it's like it seems like Super Saiyan Goku is seemingly a lot more determined and like practically minded than his normal self.
Yeah,
but
weird
he's not level of focus. But he's not actually any smarter. which leads him to sit down at the ship's controls, find out that this it still has power, and then say, I just need to figure out how to make it go.
Wondered how he knew how to even start it, but probably from watching Bulma figure out machines, because he definitely talks to the spaceship like I imagine Bulma.
No, Aaron, he just learned how to turn a spaceship on from training, the same way he learned how to read minds.
I mean, he figures out how to turn the spaceship on, and it's just one button.
There is a go button.
Frieza, like, did you need a whole crew for this?
It's one go. They're like this console takes up like half the room.
Well, again,
right? Like there's clearly space for multiple operators, and there is one button that is basically the take me to Earth button.
Let's not forget that what we saw of their control scheme back on the home base in the previous episode when they were scanning for Frieza's power level, and it's just a giant like Fisher-Price keyboard.
Yeah, it is. It is pretty, I bet it's mostly automated and the buttons are just there for show.
Yeah. Also, the other thing about buttons, Goku punches the shit out of the elevator button to get to the bridge.
I did want to bring that up.
I have not seen anyone fuck up an elevator button that good since Bioshock Infinite. Booker hates those elevator buttons.
To get a little more serious, I just gotta say, I love like the way this sequence is shot as he's looking for the bridge and then he finds it and then he's like climbing up the diagonal floor even though he can fly.
I'm impressed that he knows the word bridge.
It's just all very
dynamic and scary and dramatic and it does a really nice job of shifting the conflict from man versus man to man versus nature, and I liked it a lot.
Man versus God.
To man versus machine.
I prefer the idea that Goku's just wrong about the button working, and that he totally actually just broke the ship.
That's entirely possible.
He pressed the pop the hood button
on a spaceship. The entire undercarriage just swung open for maintenance and chewed itself up on the fissure.
Well, it just dumped into the lava below.
Yeah, it dumped the engine into the lava.
Yeah.
Goku, no.
The ship begins to slide into the planet's core, and despite being able to fly, Goku struggles to climb up the interior of the ship.
It looked really cool.
Yeah. It did look really cool.
It looked like the intro from Toonami.
I was going to say, it looked so cool they used it in their intro when it was on TV. And I was wondering, like, maybe he's just drained. Like, that's why he's not flying.
Yeah.
Maybe he's just trying to conserve energy. But then he does fly to get out. So he just wanted to look cool for the camera.
Mm-hmm.
Goku ditches the ship, and it's enveloped in lava down below in the core.
Which is also really cool.
Oh, yeah. And he's kind of out of options now.
King Kai ruins the drama by exclaiming, what a lemon.
Listen, he's got a Chevrolet Bel Air. He knows what a lemon is.
Now, I want to propose something, which is that if Vegeta knew the exact details of what had just happened here, he would absolutely take credit for having killed Goku. Because because he was the one who broke the ship.
Uh-huh.
Vegeta, I think, is in a mind space where he is going to take the victories that he can get.
Yes, yes.
Like, it just seems like maybe he needs a win.
Yeah, even if he had nothing to do with it.
So Goku, in a move that just proves once and for all that he will forever be our goofy little boy hero, in his last moments, he cries out to the heavens, "Oh no!"
It's a really big holler.
It's just stunning dialogue.
That's all he's got before he
goes. And
then
you get a cry from Yamcha as well.
And that, yeah, and then we hit. Oh no, Yamcha's going for his Oscar moment here.
Yeah.
And this is the. I think this is the peak. Like, it's appropriate that this is the end of the season because literally we cut from what is. We cut from Goku's annihilation in the fiery death throes of a dying planet directly to the commercial break music.
Yes!
Like, we
yes!
have we
yes!
have reached the height of...
Perfect.
Oh my god.
It was the worst thing, and it was perfect.
This, ladies and gentlemen, is art.
Truly.
George Miller, eat your heart out.
This was an arc in itself.
Yes.
And I have a final time of death for Planet Namek.
Yeah.
Frieza's 5-minute timer took exactly, in real time, 2 hours, 44 minutes, and 44 seconds.
Thank you, Time Lord.
That's pretty close to what my quick estimate was.
Your guesstimate? So the planet Namek completely explodes, and King Kai checks the coordinates, but nothing remains.
Oh yeah, I forgot to mention, speaking of King Kai, I really liked his description of Planet Namek. As boiling spaghetti sauce.
Yeah. Yep. Yep.
I remember that.
King Kai is showing, you can really see the effects of living alone for so long. With a monkey and a bug to talk to.
Yeah, he really attached to Goku like a baby duck.
Yeah, he did.
he imprinted on Goku.
Yamcha has to break the news to everyone on Earth.
Yeah, he says he can take care of it because he's close to Bulma.
Yeah.
Uh-huh, sure you are.
So, which I imagine we all snicker.
Yeah.
All
right.
So he uses the Kai phone to call Bulma.
Yeah.
Cut to Vegeta taking a nap in the grass.
Yep. Aww. Tuckered himself out with all that rolling around and laughing.
Yeah, just chunks of grass just missing around him in a cornucopia.
Now, I love Bulma's reaction to this. Just assumes, hears Yamcha's voice and assumes, did somebody shrink you?
What on earth?
Well, you know there have been shrinkway shenanigans in the Briefs household.
That's true. But yeah, it's just, he's just like...
You know there's a Bulma, I shrunk your mom.
Don't.
Almost assuredly.
Yeah, Honey, I shrunk fiction, the Briefs.
Fan fiction
but
premise
just,
number.
Just completely forgot that he is dead.
And then he has to be like, Bulma, it's okay, you're not losing your mind. Well, okay, yes you are. You're recovering from a psychotic episode, but this isn't that. This is a different thing.
I love Yamcha's very casual telephone candor, because Bulma's like, hey, what's going on? And Yamcha says, not a lotta.
Just hanging out with the dead guys.
The other dead guys.
That
you know
not,
how it is.
That is not really an appropriate way to respond in any context.
If I ever haunt a Ouija board, I'm going to write that.
I also love that as soon as it's clarified to Bulma that this is telepathy, she just says, telepathy, huh? Man, that's wild. And then immediately, it's just a phone call.
Yeah, so what's up?
What's going on?
Everyone on Earth gets excited to hear that Frieza is dead.
I love Gohan and Dende's little dance. These happy green boys.
And Bulma very nonchalantly informs everyone that Goku died on Namek. Now, bummer.
Now, what happens here? What happens here? I want to take a moment to appreciate it because, yeah, Bulma. Like from Bulma's perspective, being casual makes sense because she, unlike everyone else, including herself on previous occasions, has remembered what world she lives in. But you know. The guys on King Kai's planet don't really know that. They don't really know that the Namekian Dragon Balls have moved shop. They don't know all the details.
They don't have the inside scoop.
No. with that in mind, please recall that it was Chaozu specifically who said, have Bulma break the news. Chaozu knew exactly what he was doing.
A little trickster.
So Yamcha wants to know why Bulma is being so nonchalant with this sensitive information. And Bulma lets Yamcha know, or has to remind Yamcha, about how the Namekian Dragon Balls work. And hey, that everyone's going to be idiot. Fine.
It's great. It's no worry. Dragon of Love has us.
Might actually be faster to just wish him back to life than have him fly back from Namek.
Yeah. King Kai starts telling straight up lies.
Yeah.
About how Purunga brings people back from the dead.
Well, I was going to say, has this been established at any point in Dragon Ball or something? I wanted to ask you guys. I take it the answer is no.
That's what's weird, is that, like, when Goku first dies at the very beginning, there is a big to-do about taking his body away from Earth and to the check-in station or whatever. But Purunga says that the Namekian Dragon Balls, according to King Kai, the Namekian Dragon Balls will resuscitate someone at the exact place they died, so they would respawn floating aimlessly in the cold vacuum of space where they would instantly die.
Yep.
Maybe this is something, maybe this is a different dragon's rule, because the way King Kai says it makes me wonder if he's done this, because he said, it's not something you'd ever do to your friends.
Yeah. Yeah, he is probably speaking from experience.
I should know.
Have you done this to King Kai?
I should know. I was once, yeah. What was going on there?
There's definitely different rules between Shenlong and Shenthic.
Right.
Like, we have discussed them.
That's been established.
The problem with this presented scenario is that we have already seen Purunga revive someone from the dead.
We have.
Right.
His name is Piccolo.
Oh.
You may have heard of him.
Was Piccolo brought back to the place that he died?
No, you're right.
He was not.
I just realized. Or, no, go ahead.
They did say bring him to Namek, though.
Right, but when he was revived, he stayed on King Kai's planet.
He didn't get back to the random, like, wasteland.
The halo just disappears.
Is that maybe something that only happens if you make it to King Kai's planet? Because that's what happened with Goku, too, right? That's why there was a big to-do about him getting back on Snake Way, so maybe King Kai has some weird, like, magic-y thing, something happening with it, where you're properly in heaven. I'm not sure.
I just think that the rules are inconsistent, and we're going to see another example of it pretty soon.
On this show? I don't believe you.
On this episode, I think.
Hooray.
No, actually, it's the next one. I just looked at
the
notes
want to
again.
Establish, I just want to remind you, Tyler, that as recently as the very last episode, last week's episode of this show, you told us to buckle in for Toriyama making it up as he goes along.
I am here for it.
So, yeah, this is...
We're certainly in that territory.
We get a healthy fucking dose of that this week.
Yum,
did
yum.
Did he forget, maybe, or did he just decide, like, you know what, it's the end of the season, screw it.
He knows the events that he wants to happen, so he's just making up rules to make it impossible to do any other option.
Right.
Uh-huh.
Like, he is a DM that is railroading the characters right now.
Yeah, it's time for a cutscene. Yeah.
I have to say, as a DM, I condemn that behavior in as strong terms as possible. As a writer, I don't really mind it. Like... I don't,
well,
I'm
sure,
not,
they're not real people. You
I'm,
can do
I'm
whatever
not going
to
say this is a particularly good implementation of that principle, but sometimes you can get to interesting things when you write by the seat of your pants that way.
Regardless of whether or not any of this shit is true, Vegeta thinks it's great news.
He's the fucking moon, which doesn't exist anymore.
Well, everybody else is taking a break to reel in horror at the vast emptiness of space. Vegeta does some cool flips.
He does flips to show how happy he is.
Who is he showing off for? Could it be... someone with blue hair?
He's peacocking.
I would say, if I were capable of doing flips like that, I probably would do it just to do it.
There's no way.
That's fair.
Yeah.
Because I bet it's fun.
Yeah.
This whole chunk of episodes is nothing but fodder for the Toonami intro, so I can't not see Vegeta doing several flips without just hearing...
It's Pavlovian.
Really, yeah. It's burned into your brain.
It won't leave.
I forgot about this. Can we take note that when they hear that Goku is dead, even Piccolo takes the time to solemnly stop and refer to him as his friend?
Yes!
Even though I still don't think they have actually exchanged words since he killed him and Raditz.
I don't think so.
Trent...
I think he may have...
No, they talked.
They've talked a little bit.
When he,
But not enough for it to feel comfortable for each other to call themselves friends.
Yeah, like, when, I mean, I think
Piccolo
when
said... Do your spirit bomb, I'll fight him for a little bit. And that's pretty friendly.
Yeah.
They had a little bit of time, but when they thought Frieza was dead.
I guess.
But, sure. Also, by Piccolo standards, they are probably like BFFs.
That's true.
Yeah. This person tolerates me.
Vegeta continues to taunt Gohan, something he's been doing for the past, like, 3 or 4 episodes.
Your dad's dead, nerd.
Itching for a fight, like, damn, he's like a kid in an elevator slapping at all the buttons just to see what happens.
Yeah,
he does taunt Gohan.
It's like, second floor, guys... dad's dead. Third floor, dad's still dead.
Like, this is a phenomenon, you know, you see having siblings or working with kids, but sometimes somebody's just like ready for a fight.
Yes.
And they will push all the buttons until they get one.
Well, Vegeta gets one. Mm-hmm. Gohan finally throws a punch.
I was not expecting this.
That's a good fuck him up Gohan for me.
Yes.
That's Gohan's way of saying, you mind your manners on my planet.
Mm-hmm. For a little bit here, Gohan fucks him up.
He does.
Before that, Piccolo has to hold back Bulma. He's got this little sweat bead, and it's just like, just stay out of it. These two have some shit to work out. And boy, do they.
Mm-hmm.
They take their fight to the sky, and round 2 doesn't go as well for Gohan.
No. See, that's what happens when you get a surprise round, but then you roll poorly for the rest of the fight.
Yeah.
Vegeta starts taunting with his fists.
Yeah.
But Piccolo steps in before shit gets too real.
Piccolo says, I'm not going to be one of those helicopter parents. If my son wants to get beaten to the brink of death, I'm not going to stop it. Kids need to learn independence. Well, I don't know why Vegeta stops here.
It's because he's secretly a good guy and really doesn't want to. He's just acting out some stuff he's dealing with from Frieza.
Yeah, we actually do see later in this set of episodes that his attitude towards these folks is actually pretty complicated now.
Mm-hmm.
Which I'm
also a friendly reminder, Piccolo is actually stronger than Vegeta right now.
Yeah, at this time.
Yeah. This is the Piccolo who was able to take on forms 2 and 3 of Frieza. No problem. Vegeta could not.
The last note I have for this episode is that Vegeta beats feet out of the forest.
But then comes back the next episode for some reason.
This is an event that will definitely have consequences.
Gohan will remember this.
I really like this, actually, and the fact that he's back next episode, and we can brainstorm what he got up to in between episodes. I have some ideas.
Yeah. Can't wait to hear them.
But, like,
it killed
I just think
me.
It's really... Oh, what, Jason?
It killed me that Vegeta, like, fucking zips off, and then the very next episode, not even that far in, He's just back and leaning against the tree, super cool guy.
There are a number of senses in which the next episode seems to forget that this whole part even happened.
Mm-hmm. This episode, or at least Vegeta's actions in this episode, it kind of serves as like a bridge between, Vegeta's shitty and evil, but oh no, he's sad, but wait, don't forget, he's shitty and evil. And then now he's got some shit to work through, and then he can be the prickly, soft-hearted cactus that we all want him to be. But in between, he kind of does that thing that, like, you see in sitcoms where, like, a mom is yelling at her kids, and then she sees herself in a mirror and is like, I've become my mother.
You know, I like that. I can't lie to you, I like that.
When he's, like, pushing Gohan's buttons, and then when he's beating the shit out of Gohan, it's just Frieza.
Yeah.
He's doing the same moves Frieza did on him.
Yeah, being a weirdo sadist. Like,
Prince of all mothers.
He's really enjoying beating up Gohan.
He's kind of in a thing. And like, what he's taunting Gohan, saying, I need somebody to polish my boots and call me Lord Vegeta. Like, you know Frieza had him polish some, maybe not boots, paint his toenails, maybe.
His,
I don't know.
His weird finger toes.
Oh, God.
I have a production-related theory for this.
Yeah?
It's been a while, I've said it before, it's been a while since I've read the manga, but I think what happened here was Toriyama, they were dangerously close to catching up, and then they caught up. Toriyama gave them some notes for how to end the season, and they just kind of did what they thought was the right thing, and that's the episode we're talking about now. And then the actual chapter for the end of the saga comes out for the manga after this. They read it, and they're like,
this
shit.
This is entirely different.
We got Vegeta all wrong.
Yeah, that's...
And so they retcon it in the next episode.
Yeah, I do believe that the Vegeta and Gohan sparring is anime only. Any other last thoughts for 106?
I wrote down, thanks, Mr. Piccolo, but I do not know why.
Just in general. That's a good, it's a good thought.
For being in our lives.
He deserves it.
That should be our daily affirmation.
Are we going to start that on this show, too?
Mr. Rogers. Extreme Mr. Rogers.
Yeah, we'll just start thanking people at the end of every episode. Episode 107, the English title is Goku's Alive! 2 exclamation points.
The
Or is he?
The Japanese title to 106 roughly translates to...
107.
107, thank you. Roughly translates to, Son Goku survived! The Z Warriors all resurrected!
So, as we mentioned, Gohan got himself cleaned up between episodes, and Vegeta snuck back, because he's back on his tree.
Yeah, I was going to say, Gohan looks pretty good for someone who just got beaten almost to death.
And Bulma has gone from being horrified by Vegeta to kind of like being slightly attracted to him. Like flirty.
We'll save that for a minute.
Yeah.
Right now we have to talk about analogies.
Yeah, that's coming.
Before
in
that,
hot.
Yeah, Bulma goes full Izuku Midoriya trying to figure out this whole birds in nests thing.
Vegeta uses the term babbles, and I felt that was pretty appropriate, because she babbles for a bit about hens and eggs and shit, and just kind of keeps, like, reaffirming it to herself. Ooh, that, yeah, analogy. This is a good metaphor.
Yeah.
Your dad's a really good egg.
She really needs to sleep.
Your egg, like, protected Earth and you know, taught martial arts, and...
We switched it over.
All the Namekians are like, wait, you make nests for your eggs?
We switched it over to the Japanese for this part, didn't we?
Yeah, because I was certain that they were just making shit up, because they were talking way too long about hens and eggs.
And what's the verdict?
I mean, she's just saying the straightforward stuff that King Kai was saying last time. Oh, Purunga can't do it because he'll go back to Namek, and we don't want that because he'll be dead.
Ah, so it wasn't flavored with farmyard freshness.
Correct. Mm. Everybody's wondering what to do about this Goku and Krillin situation. They can't bring them back to life because they'll just be in space. And Vegeta comes up with the brainy idea to wish them to the check-in station before bringing them back from the dead.
Oh.
Did that take anyone else back?
It did. And this is...
Because I actually thought to myself, "What? How does he know about that?" And oh yeah, he died.
Yeah, he was there for a bit.
Yeah. So.
But he would have been on Namek's check-in station.
I think that's all our headcanon, but that's how it works.
I think it's a shared check-in station for this galaxy, because King Kai is the purveyor of this galaxy.
Well, why would there be an Earth's check-in station?
I have no idea. We are the center of the universe.
It's not the most straightforward process.
The Namekians all ask Bulma if she has a place for them to stay while they search for a new planet to live on.
I like that everyone immediately seems to acknowledge that she's in charge on Earth.
Of course.
Yeah.
She takes charge on Earth.
She's a member of the ruling family.
She offers up the capsule compound for them to stay at. There's plenty of room.
Hey, Dad, I brought home like 100 refugees from space.
She brought a new workforce.
Oh, no.
Oh, no. She brought new golfing friends.
Yeah, that's...
As it turns out, yes, she did.
Yeah.
She also extends the offer to her homeboy, Vegeta.
Hey, oh homeboy!
Is this when Vegeta has his amazing reaction?
Oh, like, boy.
Home! What?
Oh, here's the thing.
Shut up!
Here's the tea. I flipped over to Japanese just to figure out what was happening here. Bulma fucking calls the Prince of All Saiyans Vegeta-kun. The honorific you're supposed to use on, like good close chums and children or whatever.
That's a pretty direct translation to homeboy.
Yeah.
That is a wild scripting decision.
The flirting is really hard in both English and Japanese.
And Vegeta is full tsundere in both as well.
Yeah.
Oh my god.
A quick recap, basically Bulma says, it's like, yeah, come on, come hang out. I mean, if you're like Son Goku, you probably eat a lot, so there's plenty of food where I am. And she caps this off with, and no matter how cute you think I am, you can't do anything naughty. And I'm like, Bulma briefs. Girl, you just landed.
Just slow it down a little bit.
After only that a little, phone call with Yamcha, she's realized how fully over him she is. She's ready to flirt with anything that moves.
I mean, she went to Namek to bring Yamcha back to life, and she had a terrible experience there. And I think she has just associated Yamcha with this string of awful experiences and just decided it's not worth it.
I still remember that really Yamcha dartboard with a bunch of darts in it.
Yeah.
She got real dehydrated, so you know she's thirsty.
I'm glad someone else said it.
Thank you.
Glad someone else pointed out
I'm so happy.
You're not wrong.
Immeasurable depths of Bulma's thirst.
Good lord.
Now, if she could get Vegeta to play baseball, that would be every one of her kinks all aligning in one.
That would never happen.
Tyler, I'm terrified now.
Vegeta would never play baseball.
Never.
Vegetas can't play baseball.
Hey, listen, it's Air Bud rules. It says right here, nowhere does it say that Vegetas can't play baseball.
Chi-Chi and company were just about to blast off into space when Dr. Briefs gets a call from Bulma and lets everybody know that they're back on Earth, so they don't have to go to Namek.
The timing for that was fantastic.
When Chi-Chi is ready to blast off, covered from head to toe in ammo, yep. Several shotguns on her.
Briefs giving the countdown.
Capsule core rocket launchers?
Yes. I made a note.
He's an arms dealer, too.
He's a PM, yeah. He's a PMC. Capsule core is just outer heaven.
He runs a company called Stereos Sans Frontiers.
Damn it. So he comes by in his giant cargo plane.
Yeah.
His giant, like, C-130 Pelican.
Can we acknowledge real quick that at the moment when everybody's gonna do the anime pratfall, they can't because they're wearing their seatbelts.
they try so hard.
Because that gave me great joy.
Oh...
That's a good advertisement for seatbelts.
Right? Yeah. Wear your seatbelts,
very effective.
Kids.
Protect yourself from anime pratfalls.
There are two things that Briefs is passionate about. Stereo systems and safety.
I mean, safety's a good one.
They all travel to the plot forest to collect everyone.
Dr. Briefs is so very done with Chi-Chi.
Understandable.
They bring everybody back to the capsule compound.
No, he cannot wait for this arc to be done so he never has to deal with her again.
Hey guys, Scratch is not anywhere in
next
episode.
That's not him then.
That's what I've been saying for like 5 episodes. This is
no, yeah, it's, body it's, double. It's the life model.
Yeah, this is a simulacrum that he created so that he wouldn't have to deal with this.
It's Venom Briefs.
Words that kill.
So then they all get there, and Briefs' trophy wife from Boston, Kentucky, immediately starts hitting on Vegeta, too.
Vegeta meets his future in-laws.
Oh my god.
Yeah, the both of them immediately take a shine to Vegeta.
Vegeta has no experience dealing with women.
Vegeta's 4 for 4 on great reactions to receiving compliments. Panty Briefs telling him, you know, oh, you saved my baby girl. You're so great. You deserve a medal. You're a hero. He goes, a ship. Wanders off.
He doesn't know how to receive actual compliments. He receives either orders or groveling.
To be fair, that's probably how, like, Dr. Briefs is sometimes, too. To being talked to.
Vegeta's mind is just desperately casting around for something that he recognizes and is familiar with. Like, any bedrock that he can build this conversation on.
Oh, look, a spaceship. I've been in one of those before.
So now we get a bit of a time skip while everybody kills time, waiting for the Namekian Dragon Balls to refresh.
Well, we get a time skip after Mrs. Briefs returns and proclaims that she's made Vegeta a Shirley Temple.
Damn.
Yes,
right.
I did forget that.
How could you forget that? So then a segment of Hail Satan happens?
Yes! Yes, it does!
Yeah.
That's the only thing I could contextualize this as.
Mori is learning to play golf.
That happened.
Dr. Briefs is wearing socks with sandals, and there's just a dinosaur in the enclosed garden. No big deal.
It's fine.
The children of Planet Namek playing poker are referred to as the Namek Boys.
The Namek Boys.
What kind of poker do they play, and what do they bet with? Is it like Texas Hold'em? Is it other kinds of poker that I didn't learn at church camp?
It's called West City Hold'em.
The losers have to fuse into the winners and get the cheese.
Okay.
Oh,
it's very high stakes.
Literally play for keeps.
Oh no. Oh.
I have a mighty, mighty need for the Namek boys walking around in pompadours and black leather jackets.
Oh, immediately.
Do they get into, like, turf wars with the Berry Boys?
The Berry Boys are dead.
That's true.
Yeah, because the Namek boys killed them.
They get into turf wars with Captain Ginyu.
There you go. With the frog who becomes the king of the animal enclosure.
Frogo Sentai.
Oh no.
Given,
because you know he's recruiting a new reptilian scaly Power Ranger force in that.
One of them looks a lot like Jace. One of the frogs. I paused it on him.
Oh my god, of course.
I do gotta say, given that in the last Hail Satan, we talked about Captain Ginyu getting halfway adopted by, like, small children who want to take turns being a frog, did they, like, how did he get to Dr. Briefs' garden? Did they just, like, bring him there?
I mean, he's on his own travels.
Yeah, okay, he just went there himself.
Yeah.
Like, hey, here's a science guy, he can probably...
he heard tell
of the
science
He probably has some
man.
Bodies lying around.
Heard tell of the great wizard of her.
We're off to see the wizard.
The other important aspect of being on Earth again is we get a fashion update for Bulma.
Yeah, we do.
Fashion.
One year has passed.
We have.
How has her fashion?
You know,
how has her fashion evolved?
Well, I'm just gonna say this before we get started. You know who we don't get a fashion update for? Vegeta. He has apparently been wearing the same outfit for the past 130 days.
It reeks.
He's got the same holes. Everything.
It's the
he
worst.
He does laundry.
Can you prove that?
I don't know, maybe he got Bulma or like somebody to make a little undersuit just like the other one. He's got like a couple identical ones.
He needs it to those exact specifications.
Nah, I feel like Bulma and Panchi have both offered to wash his armor for him and he just refuses. Because he's a shy boy.
He likes it this way.
He's just stubborn. I love this outfit because it's a very clear callback to Bulma's original Dragon Ball uniform.
Where all of her clothes say what her name is on them.
Yeah, and it's also got like the kind of cowl piece at the top.
Yeah, yeah.
But you mix that with modern Bulma's hair. It's a potent combination.
After 130 days, they summon Purunga directly in West City.
Oh my god.
didn't think to like leave the city limits for that one.
Just pull the trigger on it.
Nor did they care.
Everybody starts panicking, and then there's like a
freaks out the whole city.
There's like a but then immediately there's like a public service announcement that says it's just one of Dr. Briefs' crazy experiments, and everyone
it's so fantastic.
Everyone just goes back to their business.
And like everybody, the guy says like it's coming from the Briefs compound, right? And everybody goes, oh, I know what that means. It's fine.
Yeah. Yeah,
we're used to monsters appearing in the sky. As long as they're over the Briefs compound.
Well, they're obviously means they're contained in his powerful wards.
Everyone with the Dragon Balls tries to wish Krillin and Goku back to the check-in station. But apparently, Goku isn't dead, so he can't go to the check-in station, or he would become dead.
I don't buy that for a fucking second, Chenthic.
That's an interesting...
Karunga just assumes they didn't want
dead
that.
By passing into cosmic time zones?
Well, we know for a fact that that's not true. I mean, unless it's a special property of the check-in station itself, but we know for a fact that that's not true because we've seen people who are in other worlds, Halos disappear. You can be there and not be dead.
Yep.
Yeah. Maybe Purunga just doesn't know how to get in there without just killing it.
Purunga's actually not very good at this, is the thing.
Well, he figured the fastest way to get him there would be to kill him.
That's true. Can we appreciate Purunga's, like, everything about him in this situation? Like, they tell him what they want, and his exact words are, "All right, just a sec."
Can we talk about how the fact that we have to make our wishes in Namekian, despite the fact that we can hold conversations with him in common?
Mm-hmm. He's very particular, and he's a dick. We've established.
Yeah, it's just tradition, Jason.
He's a special boy.
Can we also appreciate the fact that Bulma will even flirt with Purunga?
And it is super effective.
That
dragon sweats.
They tell me you're the dragon of love, if you know what I mean.
They wish Krillin over to the check-in station, so I guess he wasn't already there.
It's been a while.
So I guess there are multiple check-in stations, and one of them got blown up, but that doesn't make sense either. Because they're, like, separate dimensions.
Well,
I don't know what's going on.
Well, look, they're hyper-efficient. Remember? Their bureaucracy is hyper-efficient. He wasn't there anymore. He was in and done.
Maybe he was halfway down Snake Way.
You gotta go back, Krillin.
So here's the thing, though. When he does come back, he kind of gives off the feeling like he just died.
Yeah, he was in like the void.
He was in mid explosion.
So, so
I mean, the same thing happened with
what the fuck?
Vegeta.
Yeah,
like when he crawled out of the ground.
So do you think that's just what happens when you get turned into one of those little clouds?
I don't know. Yeah, maybe.
Was Krillin not good enough to keep his form?
Absolutely not.
Ooh, ouch.
Maybe you need Kami to, like, swipe your body before it gets gross.
Yeah, he didn't have anybody to pull some strings for him like Goku did.
So they bring Krillin back from the dead. Everyone's happy. Mm-hmm. He's surprised.
Yeah.
And they decide to wish Goku back to Earth, but Purunga can't do that either, because he says...
Goku says he don't wanna.
Yeah, he says that Goku refuses, and he'll come back at a later time.
How many people can say no to the
to
eternal
a dragon?
Dragon
of love.
The
was wondering this.
Is Goku?
I don't know if like consent is standard for these wishes. Maybe a good idea if it is.
Yeah.
But the dragons can't grant a wish that they don't have the power to grant.
Right.
And I wonder. Is Purunga just not strong enough
to make
Goku do what he wants?
He skipped wish day.
He does like give out a couple like grunts, like he's trying to bring Goku back.
Come on.
He doesn't want to go.
Come on.
Attempts are made.
Your
he
wife
says he
is
don't want
scary.
It.
Come on. He's gonna hit me with something.
I know, man.
I just
understand.
Kept saying,
I'm right here with her.
I just kept saying, poor Chi Chi.
Man, yeah, Roshi crosses a line a little bit.
Yeah,
but she came with a sword, so it's okay.
Yeah, I was like, oh, that's the thing that you had. where were you keeping that?
Vegeta hears that Goku is still in space and refusing to come back, and this upsets him.
Oh, this is such a great reaction.
So he comes up with like the worst plan ever, which is to steal the Capsule 3 and to just go looking for Kakarot in space.
And we don't even know if Capsule 3 works before this.
I don't think that is his plan.
Also, he's just gonna comb space until he finds Goku?
No, I think he assumes Goku is out there training to get stronger. So he says,
so
I gotta go get stronger.
That makes more sense.
The shitty thing is Vegeta's 100% right here.
About what?
That's exactly what's happening.
Oh, then he's off training.
Yep.
Why else would Goku refuse
to come home?
Yeah, that's what I assume too.
He had a traumatic battle,
he's got some stuff to think through.
So the folks at Capsule Corp are kind of like wondering what to do with this last wish, since they fucking can't use it on Goku no matter what they do.
We got everybody who matters, so...
Yeah. So they gotta pick one of the three on Kinkai's planet to bring back. And this upsets me for a lot of reasons. The next couple of events. They end up picking Yamcha.
Because Tien just immediately bows out and Chiaotzu's well, I'm not going alone.
That's my first problem, is, like, the only one they really need Namek Dragon Balls for is Chiaotzu. The other two could be wished back by Earth Dragon
Balls. Oh, with Shenron, yeah.
Yep.
But Chiaotzu refuses to go without Tien. So he makes the Namekians wait on Earth another 130 days because he doesn't want to leave Tien for, like, an hour.
Listen, Chiaotzu is a ride-or-die clown motherfucker. Like...
You know, speaking of which, like, again...
That's what his
he's a ride-and-die, because he's done both.
You know, speaking of which, like, I've not been around for the history of these characters, really. I haven't experienced that yet. And we have these powerfully shot, touching moments where Chiaotzu is hugging his best friend Tien, and they're smiling at each other, and da-da-da-da-da. Mm-hmm. These two were introduced as, like, murderers, right?
Yeah.
Yep.
Like, absolutely, yes.
Assassins.
Yeah, they were. I mean, in Dragon Ball, you mean?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
They are villains.
I guess, like, the way that the show treats, like, Vegeta will probably not be as surprising if you've watched through from that point.
Under that context.
Right.
If you're sort of familiar with Goku's whole scene.
Yeah, and the way that he projects his bizarre ideology onto everyone. Like some sort of KOTOR 2 alignment aura effect.
You know what they say, rivals are just friends you haven't met yet.
They're just friends you haven't punched yet.
So they use this wish on Yamcha, and this is the second part that upsets me, is Yamcha just gets dumped in the lake, or like the pond on the capsule compound. Which is not where he died.
Now,
I am tired of the lies, Kinkai. I am tired of them.
Now, Tyler, you're not wrong. But for me, it's made up for by how visibly unhappy Purunga is at having to bring back Yamcha.
He just dumps his ass in a pond.
Like, I can't not fulfill the wish for this chucklehead.
He makes an exception to the rule. Because the frog pond is where this boy belongs.
Is he allowed to
This was an act of pettiness from Purunga.
Even re-entering reality, Yamcha gets owned.
So we skip another 130 days. Almost a year has gone by at this point. And they get the Dragon Balls again, because it's a fucking no thing to go collect them at this point. Yeah.
Was everybody wearing the exact same clothes and hairstyles?
Yeah,
no.
I think so.
Bulma.
Oh yeah, Bulma changed. She's got the like pantsuit on.
She has her episode one outfit.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the white blazer with the blue tank top.
Oh nice. So it's just everybody else who refused to change.
Yamcha changed.
Oh yeah, Yamcha did
cut his hair.
Yeah, Yamcha
for some horrifying reason.
I love it though.
Doesn't do it for me.
It's a turning point for Yamcha.
Here's the thing.
That's all I will say.
And I'll walk us back a little bit before the second time skip, the second 130 days, where there's like a brief moment, some might say, where like Yamcha is coming out and he's got the frog on him and he's kind of laughing and he's his hair is wet and Bulma, and they like meet each other for the first time. And I mean, we know we're no bones about major spoilers here. We know, like, in the long run, they don't wind up like together. But like,
this ain't it.
But at this juncture, like, it was really sweet and heartfelt to see. Like, they were, you know, they were an on again, off again couple. They're young love. That's still valid. That matters.
Yeah, and it's like, you know, even if you dated on and off maybe a little bit, and, you know, he was a jerk some few times, and blah, 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 you don't want to see him die.
No, like, and she never got to even say goodbye at all. Like, she showed up to a corpse. So yeah, seeing this reuniting, even though, you know, we know it's not going to shake out in the long run, you kind of feel like a weird sense of like, oh, this is... this is what we have actually been working for.
There's some closure, at least.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Gordy, were you going to talk about the Dragon Balls?
I was just going to say, like, if you have
and
watched...
And the collection thereof.
If you have watched Dragon Ball, and you, like, you watched the whole Red Ribbon Army saga, which just goes on forever as they struggle to collect these Dragon Balls, it's, like, it's just night and day. The collection process from what they were doing then to just like, oh, we'll just grab them real quick.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, just off screen.
Or even just like, hey, Mr. Popo, why don't you do this?
I was about to say, yeah, it's obviously because they didn't have Popo on the job.
So they get the Dragon Balls again, and they use two wishes on Tien, and the young Emperor Chiaotzu.
What does that mean?
So that's...
That is the most bizarre callback series has ever made.
I see.
It's a...
But it is a callback.
It's a very esoteric reference that isn't even technically canon.
I was gonna like, say, it's mostly I looked on the wiki for this, and I couldn't find what Chiaotzu's the emperor of.
It's long mostly story a short, mistake.
Yeah, long story short, there is a Dragon Ball movie where they kind of, like, do a, like, a sort of retelling.
It's a what-if.
Yeah, what-if, where in which Chiaotzu is, like, a young vampire emperor thing. Hmm. Like, a child emperor, and Tien is, like, his bodyguard.
Yeah, they recontextualize a lot of the characters into sort of like a Chinese castle hierarchy, and Chiaotzu is the emperor of this city.
But it's not canon.
Right.
And it's never mentioned in, like, his position as a child emperor is never mentioned in the series or any other form of media, honestly.
So Funimation is referencing that for some reason.
You know, Aaron, you know what? Come on. You know what Chiaotzu's the emperor of?
Our hearts.
He's the emperor of
piss.
All right, well.
Wait, he's the emperor of what?
You both ruined my line in very different ways, so let's just move on.
Wait, what did...
I want to
hear we got to hear the third option.
I was just going to say he's the emperor of Tien's heart, but...
Yeah.
But fine, whatever.
Yeah.
And what were the options again? I said piss. He's the emperor of piss.
Wow.
Or Tien's.
And Aaron said everyone's hearts.
Okay. I said our hearts.
Okay, well, you have a whole spectrum there. Everyone's hearts.
And so.
One person's hearts, just utter piss.
And so, Chiaotzu, the tiny piss emperor, was revived.
That's a different podcast.
The last wish on Purunga is to take all of the Namekians off of Earth and to their new home planet somewhere.
Oh, good for them.
We don't get to know.
Yeah, it's basically a no man's sky at this point. You just get dropped onto a random seed.
Well, I thought about it for
run into the ball sack monsters.
Yeah, I thought about it for like a second, and like, it's probably not hard to find another planet for them. All they need is water.
Yeah.
Well, it's not like there's not room on this planet.
There's got to be some empty planets that Frieza didn't blow up.
Surely somewhere they must exist.
And Gohan and Dende share a tearful farewell as Dende gets warped away.
I love this. This is bittersweet. Dende's losing his friend.
Yeah, his first, like, his age friend.
Yeah.
If only they had a friend who knew how to make intergalactic communication devices.
His first contemporary.
They can have boy calls.
I want to be a space pen pal.
Outer space boy calls.
What?
You know.
I've never heard of boy calls.
I'm glad I'm not the only one who's confused.
It's pretty straightforward. Like, they're both, as far as we know, both boys. Maybe they identify differently. I'm not positive.
Is
but
that a thing?
Is it a thing for
like,
boys to call each other?
Call them boy calls.
Call each other.
That's not girl.
I feel like
you know.
I feel like Gordy's trying real hard to make it a thing.
Only girls are allowed to use the phone to talk to people of the same gender.
Yeah, untrue.
Well, you heard it here, folks.
So things are finally starting to get back to normal on Earth. And my last note for this episode is when Gohan and Chi-Chi are back home, back settling into their lives again. When is that fucking deadbeat Goku going to come back from space?
Maybe.
Chi-Chi's got this under control. She's got Ox King moved back in. Piccolo's mm-hmm. hanging out outside somewhere. It's fine.
Yeah, Gohan's not bereft of a dad right now.
No.
Episode 108. The first episode of season 4. The English title is The Heavens Tremble.
The Japanese title roughly translates to Terrible Happenings in Heaven. Garlic Jr. to become Kami.
What?
Who's this?
Who is that?
Who's this?
I'm strapping in. Here we go.
So you know how we love filler? Mm-hmm. What if a whole arc was filler?
Be pretty good.
I think it'll be great.
I wish I knew what was going
on. I think it'd be pretty spicy.
Spicy, you say? Huh.
Oh, like garlic.
And you know what? You know what? It would also be great if they just like carry a character from one of the movies and just stick them right in the main series.
But, just ram jam him right in there.
But Turles isn't the main villain of this arc, nor is Dr. Wheelow.
No, we get an actually good villain.
Well, hey, we get a villain.
I'm being facetious.
I had his action figure, so yeah, he is a good villain.
Well, we get a villain. We get a villain who is very excited about the fact that he is a villain.
Oh, which is, yeah.
Oh yeah,
kind
he's
of
way
refreshing.
Into it.
I always am endeared by that kind of thing.
So before we like really dive into this,
yeah.
I just want to say it is a very common tradition for the Dragon Ball Z movies to just be a straight up retelling of one of the other previous arcs, but with different characters.
Yeah.
They take major events of the actual story and just kind of rework them into being about somebody else.
Yeah, and Garlic Jr. is just straight up Pilaf.
Yeah.
He is.
Looks just
like
him.
Pilaf.
He is also Raditz.
Yeah, you're right.
When we watch the movie, it'll become more clear.
Right.
But he takes the place of Raditz.
He's the Raditz pro tempore.
This episode begins with a downpour in a very red city.
No recaps either.
Oh, no.
That actually threw me off.
Yeah.
Like, straight in.
Because I normally like fast forward through the recaps. And I'm like halfway through an episode. And I'm like, oh, fuck.
We hear mysterious, sinister laughing as dark figures are mercilessly killing the townspeople.
And they didn't ask for this.
That's right.
As they exclaim.
And we're introduced to a diminutive figure who refers to himself as Garlic Jr. He has seemingly escaped from a place called the Dead Zone and is seeking revenge against someone.
Which he was trapped in for 10 years, I believe he says.
That's what he said, and I'm very confused by that. I will need some help figuring out the timeline.
I think,
eventually.
Aaron, we have no answers
for
you.
Yeah, you're going to be real disappointed at this hunt.
Oh,
my only guess is just time is weird in the Dead Zone.
Okay.
Time is dead.
I mean, that's
space
acceptable.
Insane.
That's acceptable.
Cut over to Gohan, who is
the
still being hounded by his saber-tooth friend.
This is just a callback sequence.
I see that Gohan has reacquired his hobby of tormenting innocent animals, in order to make up for his missing his dad.
It's definitely a retelling of episode one, where instead of the hunted, he is not really the hunter, but he's also like just kind of fucking with the saber-tooth tiger.
He's just chill with it.
Well, it also made me think of episode one of Dragon Ball, too. Like, with the catching the fish.
Yeah!
The same kind of fish Goku had when he met Bulma.
Yep. The giant, hideously engorged Magikarps.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
He carpes
Piranha
dinner.
Magikarps.
Gohan goes fishing, and he bumps into a swanky-looking Krillin.
Oh, my
God. So
snazzy Krillin.
Yes, he
Krillin,
does.
Krillin drives here from an AU that I'm going to write in the future. he travels back in time.
Uh-huh.
Humphrey Bogart exists in this world.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Gohan knows who that is.
And so does Terry.
This is part of his education.
As Priyanka.
I did scream at the TV, Gohan, why do you know who that is?
Has he seen Casablanca? Why else?
Yeah, Gohan's a classy, he's a classy kid, Matt.
Yeah, he is far more cultured than I gave him credit
the
for.
The only channel you know Chi-Chi lets Gohan watch is Turner Classic Movies.
No, none of that reality TV bullshit in my house.
God, what do you think reality TV is like in this world?
What?
Starring Mr. Satan.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Good.
It's all produced by Capsule Corp and involved with Mr. Satan somehow.
Oh, man.
Gohan was watching clips of Dynamite Dish on YouTube, but he saw a man get killed, so Chi-Chi just like closed the laptop and put on Casablanca.
Capsule Blanca.
None of that.
Casa Blanca.
You're gonna get on that spaceship. You're gonna regret it. Maybe not today, maybe not tomorrow.
Does Dr. Briefs have a media channel, and does he make propaganda?
Oh, for sure. That's the thing, is that he's a combination of a totalitarian, like, ruling dictatorship, along with Apple. Like, it's it's everything rolled into, like, a keynote speech.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to my TED Talk about how you're all going to be obeying me for the next, 1,000 years.
Let's be real. I don't know who this TED chap is. Welcome to a Briefs Talk.
That's the first item of business. We're rebranding.
We're executing TED.
The ironic part is, this is not brief at all.
There will be a no intermission.
Krillin is also sporting a hot new whip.
Ooh, oh, yeah. Yes, ma'am.
So, we've seen Krillin dressed in fine before at Dragon Ball, mm-hmm. but he's never been
in a suit before.
Yeah.
He has never been ballin'.
Mm-hmm. He wishes he
not
was
like this.
He wished he was a little bit taller. He wished he was a baller.
Dragon baller?
He wished he had a rabbit in a hat.
Last on his checklist of things to get is a girlfriend.
Oh,
you guys.
He's getting there.
Oh, boy.
You guys.
He's trying so hard.
He's talked about this so much, and it's finally happening
you
for him.
Guys.
I hope.
Why are you mentioning this? I thought he was just going for a swim.
I hate her.
Well,
when we first watched the episode, I was in a loud place, and I thought her name was Erin, and I hate her.
Oh, no.
Tyler said while we were watching it that she is the worst character in all of Dragon Ball.
Now,
all of Dragon Ball, I stand by it.
I have to make sure I'm not imagining this. When I saw her, I was like, oh, is this tights? Because she has blue hair, and I thought she looked exactly like Bulma, but with a different haircut.
Tights is blonde.
Oh, and she does look exactly like Bulma.
Okay.
All
right, I'm not imagining that. Good. It's not tights. All right.
Tights is blonde.
No,
she's got her mom's
hair. I mean, Marin. Marin looks exactly like Bulma.
Yeah, Krillin's girlfriend is named Marin, and she's literally just Bulma, but worse in every conceivable way.
Mm-hmm. And remember when I mentioned the numerous can of worms that need to be opened in this episode?
Oh, boy.
Yeah. This is one that we can't open for, like, a year, though.
Yeah.
Oh?
You're gonna get the other half of this temple medallion way later.
What is going on? What is happening?
Guys?
Okay. I have a question, and you can tell me if it's a question, we gotta leave it.
Yeah.
If it's like, you know, a dog thinking, oh, great, I'm gonna eat this grape. No, dog, I'll kill you.
Yeah.
So, I know...
That's a good...
I don't...
Man, Aaron, that's a good analogy.
Thank you. I know from hearing, you know, chatter on the interwebs that there are androids in the future.
Yep.
Is it possible that she is one?
It's possible.
Not where I thought,
like,
this was going, but I like
an
it.
Early
if you,
model?
If you want me to answer truthfully, I'm going to say no. But
it's not
for Hail
possible.
Satan, it's possible.
Anything
like, is whoever
possible.
Whatever is creating the androids, could they possibly be like, here, I'm gonna make a shitty girl.
Just one terrible one.
With zero purpose.
Like, even, like, I tried to, like, talk my, after watching the, I tried to tell myself, like, oh, she's just, you know, she's a gold digger, she's doing her best, like, just working girl, trying to make her way in the world, and then I rewatched it, like, her behavior has no consistency.
Yeah.
There is no glue holding this together.
She is a force of chaos.
She doesn't pass, oh, what's the test where you think a robot's a person?
The Turing.
The
Turing test.
Oh, I was going to say.
The real one,
I was gonna,
not the one from Blade Runner.
I was going to say, yes. Start asking her about turtles. And hey, you know what? We have a turtle right here on Roshi's Island. We could do that test, like, right away. Wrap this whole thing up, no problem.
The turtle's bald. She likes bald.
Marin, you don't flip the turtle over. Why is that?
So, I'm just to lay all of this out, because I do hate this character so much.
I have to admit, like, I have no particular attachment to her either, and after I realized that she wasn't tights, I immediately stopped caring, but I have to, like, you guys are going to have to explain to me why you hate her so much, unless it has to do with stuff we find out later.
Aaron has covered some of it already with the behavior stuff. She's just a terribly written character and a not very consistent one either.
And it doesn't do any favors to Krillin as a character.
No.
Yeah, it honestly just detracts from him.
He can do better.
Because this is his first girlfriend, guys.
Yeah.
He's the thing he's been seeking after since his introduction.
Well, she's not even his girlfriend.
Well,
yeah.
Not really, no. Yeah.
Well, sure, but like, that just, to me, that just
comes up and she immediately tries to get with Yamcha.
It's just the fact that he finally gets a girlfriend and it just happens to be one who looks exactly like Bulma.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's also...
Yikes.
Yeah.
That is a huge level of creep.
In universe, that's super creepy. Out of universe, it's super lazy that they just designed Bulma again.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I get you.
Like, they couldn't draw any other woman.
Oh, yeah, because this is not a Toriyama character design, right?
Yeah, they had the sky was the limit, and they just picked Bulma again.
Yeah, it's like, what if we just had Bulma, but, like, way more ditzy and, like, just gave her a plunging neckline?
Well,
worse fashion...
Admittedly,
yeah, much worse fashion.
I totally get what you're about, but I have to admit that is a funny thing. What if we just had Bulma, but again, what if Bulma, but more? Like it's
the version that's in all the hentai parodies.
When Bulma was young, she separated all the evil out of her heart and formed. And that let her rule over Earth.
And one day they will fuse and become an even more powerful being.
And now
Demon Queen Marin could never stand a chance against.
Jason, stop trying to make me like this character.
Well, no, he's writing fix it, which is what you do when you hate a character. So it doesn't conflict with your attitude at all, Tyler.
The last thing, like I mentioned, there's future events with Krillin. That we can't talk about yet that are directly affected by this decision to create this character that makes him, like, just worse in every way. And it's really disappointing.
But that, my friends, is the juiciest grape you will ever see.
Yeah.
It'll kill ya.
I can't wait to eat it and let it destroy my intestines.
That's a good metaphor.
Krillin and Marin are headed out to Kame House to hang out with the gang. And they invite Gohan to go along, but he's not sure his mom's going to let him.
he knows.
Yeah.
He knows she's not going
to let him. Everyone involved knows.
Somewhere in the wilderness, Piccolo is fighting himself.
Like he does.
Many himself.
He's just really beating himself about this.
Yo.
Well, many Piccolos are fighting, and I guess Piccolo Prime is kind of watching and coaching.
Kami drops by for a visit, and he wants Piccolo to assume his role as the Guardian of Earth. And Piccolo says, nah.
He's like, I don't want your job.
Fuck off.
Your job sucks.
I love both of their arguments. Because Kami's like, aw, you're still rude, arrogant, and completely lacking in social graces. But you're totally full of shit. You're a big softy. Come be guardian of the Earth. And then Piccolo's response is to just shoot a beam at the Earth. Like, no, I hate the Earth.
Watch me.
Look at me punch the Earth.
There we go.
Fuck off, Earth.
Get out of my room,
that made
Dad.
Me laugh so hard. Like, it has nothing to do with what they're talking about. It's like,
what a fucking quandary it is that Kami has separated all the evil in his heart to create this demon king, and that person's current incarnation has gone the way of good.
It's weird to think about.
It's weird to think about, and it's like, also kind of a profoundly hopeful refutation of this universe's own rules.
I think so.
Like, it's like, first you declare the existence of coherent, quantifiable good and evil, and that you can divide them like
and
water
and
milk.
You can make them into a guy.
Yeah. Into a thinking man. And then show that that's not absolute, and that the result is all still just still
can
just a
have
person.
A kid.
Yeah.
And that kid can become good.
The evil literally has to die for that, but...
Oh, good point.
But they're kind of still the same person, given that the kid and the dad's...
Yeah, he retains his memories, so...
Also, I didn't realize...
And he retains the life link with Kami.
That Kami and Piccolo's color palettes are swapped. Kami has a dark blue cloak and a white body shirt robe thing, and Piccolo has the dark blue gi and a white cloak.
Meanwhile, on Kami's lookout, those weird guys that we saw before are up there, and they are
stomping on the gardenias.
They're just vandalizing the place to freak out Mr. Popo.
My peonies!
Not the rhododendrons.
And then, so I guess Mr. Popo just recites the entire plot of Dead Zone?
Yeah.
Yep.
We get a nice little primer on what happened in the movie Dead Zone.
Hey,
this made me really wish that we had watched Dead Zone first.
You wanna know what happens during this section in Japanese? It is dead silent.
It's just the images of Dead Zone?
Yep. There is no dialogue, barely any sound effects. It is just a few minutes of just
Dead
Zone. Oh,
so it's just Popo remembering what happened?
I guess?
Huh.
I mean, that's weird, but also makes more sense than him just expositioning
it. To the people who were all there and know...
Well, I don't remember these fuckers.
I don't know if they're all there new. Or what.
Yeah, the minions are new. Yeah. Garlic is a return.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Also, we are not introduced to their names yet, but these new minions do have names, yeah. And they do have sort of a collective team name, kind of like the Ginyu Force.
Uh-oh.
What is it? What are they?
What is it?
Well, so the Ginyu Force theme was milk-based, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. And garlic is a... what would you call it? A type of a type of spice?
It's like a... Well, right? I thought it was like a vegetable, really. But, you know, spice works, too.
I mean, herbs are vegetables. Kinda. They're plants.
And this was released in the 90s.
This...
Oh,
yeah.
No.
This is a good
oh
squad.
Oh, my God. Are they the Spice Girls?
What?
Close.
Close.
Oh.
They can make boy calls to each other.
Here comes... The Spice Boys.
Aaron, they're called the Spice Boys.
Yay!
Holy
shit. I love
shit.
It.
They're called the Spice Boys in the Funimation dub.
I'm pretty sure this is a...
That's the one that matters.
I'm pretty sure this was an episode of the Powerpuff Girls.
It's the only one that... Yeah, only one that's canon.
If you'd like to know their Japanese name, it is the Four Monarchs.
Well,
that's
much cooler.
That is significantly cooler.
It's much more threatening, but way less fun.
Yeah.
Their names are Mustard, Vinegar, Salt, and Spice.
Which, hey,
of course
I'm
they
calling
are.
Bullshit immediately. You can't be the Spice Boys and have one of your members just be called Spice.
Spice?
And one of them be Vinegar? I feel like,
fucking Mustard.
Aren't there characters named after, like, fermented drinks later on?
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Vinegar would make more sense being one of them.
I mean, we might still get that.
I have some breaking news coming to you live from the Dragon Ball Wiki. Yep, okay, yeah. Salt is definitely salt. Mustard is mustard. He's tado, so mustard. Vinegar is still vinegar. Spice is not spice in Japanese.
What is spice?
You want to...
tell us what spice is, Jason.
I'll tell you what spice is.
Does it flow?
It does not.
Oh,
his name is Cashew. Which is not a fucking spice.
Not something you would commonly think of as a spice, no. More of a... Is a cashew a nut?
It's a legume. It's
so
a
just
nut?
In both... In both versions, they had a theme going, and then they just decided they didn't care.
It'd make more sense if he was Nutmeg or something.
Yeah,
the real,
it's a nut.
The real
spice.
Naming convention for Toriyama is things that I can see from where I'm sitting.
Well, Toriyama had nothing to do with this one.
That's true. Yes.
So this is it. It's finally time.
These are our boys for this arc.
These are the ones who will surpass Frieza.
Yep.
Physically hurts, Aaron.
It does.
I
hate it.
I can't say I disagree.
Part of the reason why I hate this, besides Marin and her bullshit, and just being told to care about a bunch of randos with tummy holes in their armor.
boy, Aaron is bringing the heat today.
The first two episodes were so good, and this was such a letdown. I was very upset. Like, for every saga so far, the motivating thing for the enemies has been to get the Dragon Balls and wish for immortality, and it's the whole show has been the good guys trying to stop them from doing that.
All of the
And
villains.
Then having this...
This dude just has it.
This jerkwad already did it, and it's mm-hmm. like, oh, if... Well, it's not just now what, it's like, oh, all that stuff you were really worried about before, we have a way to deal with that, it would have been fine. There's no reason for you to be worried.
Oh, as in, like, you can hypothetically send him to the dead zone?
Yeah!
I see, okay.
Like, every just, villain in this show is just, they are so horny for immortality.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, who isn't? But, like...
Every villain is lemons.
Just, I don't know, it just really felt like it was giving the middle finger to, like, everything you invested your heart in over the last 100 episodes.
The stakes here are really thrown out of whack.
Mm. It just yanks the stakes out and jams them in your foot instead.
Yeah, it's a thing that happens more than once.
Also, from what I can understand, the dead zone is a power unique to Garlic Jr., apparently.
Aaron, if it makes you feel any better, the only ones who can open up the dead zone are the people of Garlic Jr.'s species.
Well,
which are the Machians.
Which he might
demons.
Just be the only one.
No, all of these guys are Machians.
Oh, okay. Even though they all look radically different. And are...
Yeah, they're just demons.
Okay.
Garlic Jr.'s plot is that he wants to take over Kami's role as the Guardian of Earth. That's all he wants. He's got immortality, so he's got to want a different thing.
Okay. I mean, you got to have a goal.
Yeah.
And it's basically fueled by spite, too.
Right.
He doesn't like Kami, so he's going to take his job.
Garlic Sr. tried to be Guardian of Earth, but Kami won, so now Garlic Jr.'s got to do it.
Another, like, Demon King, Demon Child legacy yep. being passed on.
Yep. Mr. Popo tries to escape, but to no avail, because Garlic Jr. shrinks him
Mr.
down.
Mr. Popo is just like, Popo out!
Bye!
Magic he gets his carpet, and he's gone. Or he tries to, anyway.
Yeah, it doesn't work too well for him.
We cut over to the Kame house where Marin is getting introduced to everyone,
well,
and she
quick,
is just the worst still.
Before we get into why she's the worst,
yeah,
I had like a small little crisis over Popo getting shrunk down.
Uh huh.
Because why doesn't he just do this to everybody?
Yeah.
Why doesn't is this an ability or is this the result of sort of like magic item?
But I don't know.
He can do it at will.
Yeah.
Okay, so just do it to everybody.
Yeah,
maybe it kills
Good plan.
Normal people.
You win.
You have to be special.
This is the
and
sort
magical.
Of question that things like, you know, Dende's ability to heal people make me ask.
Right.
Where,
like, just
where it's like,
don't stop doing that.
Well, it's just in the sense of, like, nobody ever shuts up about power levels, but, like, they repeatedly show that there are things that are not covered by just beam, how good are you at beam? And that's a weird thing, because, like, in my mind, it makes the setting more interesting, but not if the show doesn't acknowledge it. not if nobody in the show acts like things that are demonstrably happening in front of their eyes are happening and
like,
matter.
Like, when I see stuff like that, it makes my brain go, oh, Garlic Jr. could beat Frieza. And it makes me very upset.
Goku can beat Frieza. And Goku's not here right now.
This could be a problem.
Yeah. Some might say that's the only reason this is a problem.
Well, you guys talked about that much earlier in the show, that was a frequent pattern.
I got that off my chest, now we can complain about Marin some more.
Yeah, I'm not going to belabor it, because we've already covered it. She's terrible.
Yeah.
There's a spot of light before we hop back to Marin, and there's a very good exchange between Mr. Popo and Garlic Jr. After the nets are thrown on Mr. Popo, they'll let the nets down, and he just stays there. And Garlic Jr. asks him something, and he says something, and is accused of lying. And Mr. Popo says,
"Oh yeah,
Mr. Popo,
Mr. Popo
does
Popo
not
never
lie."
Lies.
And
this
Garlic
exchange
responds,
is so weird. I love
For
it.
Some reason, I believe you. And Mr. Popo says, "Yes, that's because I Don't lie.
Mr. Popo has his own secret
what
powers.
What did I just tell you?
Like, yeah.
He's a straight shooter, respected on both sides.
Can we factor that into his incredible negotiation
skills
that we've
given
him?
Yes. He has a reputation.
You belong in jail. Go to jail.
I need the Dragon Balls.
You know what? You're right. You're right.
So at Kame House, Marin is flirting with Yamcha immediately. And
right in front of Krillin.
Wow.
Bulma seems to be Krillin's only true friend, because she's the only one being critical of this new person. She asks, what do you like about Krillin? Marin says, he's bald. Yeah. And that's all that she offers up.
Well, it's not even what do you like, it's what about him is special to you?
Well, right. Yeah, Bulma's a romantic.
Sure.
And is that before or after Roshi makes yet another really funny joke?
That was before.
I believe it's before, Roshi. I liked you for a while in the previous saga.
Liz, he was absent
Liz too.
For most of it.
Yeah.
You're not
wasn't
wrong.
Around he was, women.
He wasn't there.
These are not painting a very good picture of the old master.
I just love Puar's reaction to Yamcha flirting with Marin. She just sinks into the chair and drinks her little cat beer.
She drinks a Meowler Light.
Ah!
Nah.
Kame returns to the lookout and finds it's trashed. And he runs into Garlic Jr. Kame tries to fight off Garlic Jr. This is the first time in the series we've seen Kame do anything, I think.
Yeah.
I was curious about that.
Other than stand around. I mean for Z, specifically.
Still thought it was cool to see.
And this podcast. But he is captured by the Spice Boys.
Oh no.
Gotta put him on the spice rack. Spend your couple rounds on the Lazy Susan.
Gohan sneaks out, and he has a dragon friend now.
Yeah,
hi, I guess.
Out of nowhere.
Whose name is Icarus, who he tells to fly at the sun.
With incredibly fierce, beautiful eyes.
Oh,
so
yeah.
Beautiful.
The way he is introduced is so abrupt. It is just his mouth comes into the screen and licks Gohan in the face.
According to the comments on Funimation, which they're enjoyable to read. They take me on a journey every week. But apparently this dragon is from one of the movies?
Yes.
A few of the movies.
A couple of the movies? The Tree of Might was the one I saw
mentioned?
Oh my goodness.
Right,
The mythical Tree of Might, whose booklet has been our source for so much important Dragon Ball canon.
Oh.
Yeah.
The very same. Yeah, so this dragon has been introduced already, but only in movie form. So he just kind of gets thrown into this filler arc, which is also based around the movies.
Much like Garlic Jr. I just thought, he's in the movies, throw him in.
But this is Icarus.
Yep. Or if you're...
Also known in Japan as a higher dragon.
Yes. Higher. Also, like, for some reason, some people spell it H-I-R-E. Like, you're hiring a dragon.
Garlic Jr. raids the lookout for a relic of his father's, which is called the Blackwater Mist. Apparently, exposing people to this mist pushes them to committing evil acts.
They give in to the...
And sort of acting on
impulse. Already existing negative parts of their nature.
Exactly.
My favorite kind of evil.
It just brings those forward.
Yeah. Power of chaos.
The end of this episode is Garlic Jr. and his henchmen laughing as they unleash the Blackwater Mist on the unsuspecting world below.
Oh, no.
What's gonna happen?
Oh, no.
Guess we'll have to watch about 10 more episodes to find out.
Yeah, we will find out what happens in 2 weeks, because next week we're gonna watch Dead Zone, so we figure out what's going on with this Garlic Jr. guy.
What's his story?
Let's get his deep, rich backstory.
Add some spice to the soup.
Nice.
Thank you.
As we begin to hail Satan, if we are experiencing about a year's worth of time skip in the show,
260 days
of time skip, does that mean that we're going to get a hail Satan time skip?
I guess so, yeah. Unless you want to cover that fucking span of time.
Yeah, how is everyone's outfits different? Let's go.
That's the only thing I know.
A brief recap of the events last time. Senzu is writing a book about the hopping Ginyu body that he found because he thinks it's a cryptid. And Hercule has finally become Mr. Satan because his mentor was killed before his eyes at a restaurant.
Which of course is the most is dramatic cliche thing possible. So he knows, and everyone else knows that it's how Vince McMahon would have wanted to go.
So he owns the dojo now. He owns the Satan name. He is Mr. Satan.
I think he spends a lot of this time, Skip, like, really investing into the business. Like, this...
Well, yeah, he's got to learn how to run a dojo.
Yeah, this is
lifting weights with one hand, reading Small Business for Dummies in the other hand.
Mm-hmm.
I think Miss Pizza comes back to sort of help him out with the paperwork and stuff.
Oh, definitely. Just like Zarbon, she's the brains behind this.
Yeah. So what else is Satan and the Earth Gang up to during this time? We can do, like, bullet points of some, like the Namek kids learning poker.
Yeah. Because, again,
except for the people of Earth.
That was basically a Hail Satan bit.
Right.
Exactly.
Landing Pod gets an expansion. Do the bad chicks, do they serve their sentence?
Yeah, they had exactly 260 days to serve. Yeah.
Very specific.
Maybe it was a little more than that, but they get out of good behavior.
Mm-hmm.
They all had different crimes, but they served the same time.
Yeah. It's a very convenient legal system in Dragon World.
Well, I think it might also be that, like, the law enforcement is familiar enough with some of the people involved that they know that if Launch is allowed to leave jail without, you know, her partner, or if she stays in jail and her partner leaves, people are going to start dying. So they just have an arrangement to make sure that, you know, for the public good.
I just want some quick, like, rapid fire bullet points, like you'd see at the end of a movie, and it says, like, such and such did this for our characters. I have a few that I'll offer up.
Please.
Officer Hoverham was promoted.
Mm-hmm.
Videl learned guitar. And Mr. Satan, on live TV, calls out the man who killed his mentor and challenges him at the next World Martial Arts Tournament.
Ooh.
But still doesn't remember his name.
Yeah, does not recall the gentleman's name, but he knows, he'll recognize him when he sees him, and he better see him at the tournament.
Does he say that?
That's a very crude drawing of him.
Yes.
Well,
the gentleman appeared to have a ponytail, a very sissy haircut that looked like this. Very cowardly killed my mentor in front of me.
With underhand
tactics. I will exact my revenge.
And then he stole our fries.
They were endless fries.
How do you steal that that's endless?
Means they're obligated to keep giving them to him, no matter where he goes.
This is the criminal of the century. Sabretooth Tiger and the T-Rex have a teary, heartfelt goodbye as the T-Rex tells Sabretooth Tiger to leave him in the spirit realm so Sabretooth can follow his heart stream to
chase Gohan.
Yeah. Avenge me. But it comes out.
But he understands. They're very close.
Hasky gets into Twitch streaming.
Oh,
Hasky gets Hasky gets into streaming Fortnite.
Of course.
I'm just dating my content immediately.
Yeah, please. Let's make Fortnite canonical.
Oh my God.
Wreck-It Ralph did it. We can do it too.
The Ginyu Force, in their new performing group, get a high recommendations, and they get a chance to go perform for King Yemma, and it goes poorly. Rikum has some experimental outfit alterations, and they're just a little too scandalous.
I have one last thing that I want to see in this one. Mm. Lapis and Lazuli are cut in class like they do.
No.
I was going to ask if you had something for them.
The Hellions, as they're leaving school, they see on the bulletin board a form that an old man was putting up, and they check it because they see dollar signs on it, and they need cash. They're teens. They need some disposable income. And it's offering up fast cash for volunteering for some scientific experiments. You know, like a sleep test.
Yeah,
or
like at the
like
local
that.
College or whatever.
Exactly. So they decide to investigate.
Quick cash, both spelled with K's.
Which they think makes it cooler. They're probably going to like whoever posted this this thing.
I can't think of anything Raditz and Princess Snake would be up to.
Well,
oh, that's right.
I mean, well, we can, but it would require us to come up with jokes horrible enough for both of them, so for all of our sakes.
They just, like, go on a date to 666 Flags and get kicked out.
They're just binging shows on HissFlix.
Yes, that's much better.
They HissFlix and chill.
You watch Parks and Rec and then just blast down on each other.
It's a very healthy relationship.
Well, I think we've Jason. Powered up enough.
Jason. Jason, come back.
Come back to us, Jason.
Return to the microphone, Jason. You got a job to do.
I have for you a 4-star rating. Oh, back to Earth. As some of you folks might know, various Dragon Ball characters have canonical birthdays and thus have canonical historical? What? Astrological signs. And so what we like to do at the end of each episode is flip over to the horoscope section and read off a little fortune for some of our various Dragon Ball characters. And the subject for today is someone I have not covered, I don't think ever, actually. The subject today is Puar. Puar actually has a canonical birthday, believe it or not.
Of course.
But Tien and...
Frieza doesn't, but Puar does.
Yeah, Frieza doesn't. Vegeta does not. Tien, Chiaotzu, they do not. Puar? Okay.
That's baffling that Vegeta doesn't.
That's interesting. Yeah. Well, some of it... To some extent, I understand some of it, because, like, some of those characters are from the more whimsical Dragon Ball days.
Yeah.
The kind of time you might be throwing that kind of info around. But then why don't Tien and Chiaotzu have them?
I think it's a matter of was it published in this weird, supplementary thing or not?
I would have figured somebody would have asked him, like at a Q&A or something.
Was it in the Tree of Might handbook?
Right. If it wasn't, then we're not
That's
sure.
That's where all the info is.
Puar was canonically born on September 2nd, so that would make her a Virgo. So... Puar, here is your horoscope. You might not have heard from a close friend in a long time, and you're a little worried.
Because he's dead!
This is valid. I mean, perhaps the person just wasn't feeling well the last time you hung out.
Perhaps.
If you can, it might be a good idea to reach out today. You might get some weird and disturbing dreams tonight, but, like, don't get too worked up over them. They're not foreshadowing anything, really. It's just... It might just be leftover thoughts from the day settling into your psyche. Here you go, Puar.
Food for thought, Puar. Yeah.
Puar, you might be having sex dreams about Yamcha. Don't put too much thought into that.
Thanks for that, Matt. Thanks for making me think of that, about that.
Thank you, everyone who listens to this podcast every week. I appreciate everyone who tunes in. Jason, where can people find you on the internet?
Well, on the internet, you can find me at Tumblr and Twitter. And the name for both is the same. It's JCAVS. That's JAYCALVES.
Dave?
As ever, you can find me at a site, PSYTAG, on Archive of Our Own. And it's my hope that by the time we record our next episode, there will be something new up that fans of the show may enjoy.
Hell yeah. Matt.
You can find me on Twitter at MonumentousMatt, or you can find my art, music, whatever have you, on various social medias under the name Define Prague.
Aaron.
I don't do much on the internet, but if you happen to find yourself in the southwest of Ohio in the US of A, you can stop by the city of Dayton, the Black Box Improv Theater. I perform with a group that performs on Wednesdays, but their shows every Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday night.
And Gordy.
You can find me on Twitter at GordonMurphyDEV, and then you can find me and Tyler on our other podcast called What the Folklore, which comes out every Tuesday and Sunday.
If you would like to contact this show directly, you can try us on Twitter. The handle for that is Destructo_Disc, D-I-S-C. And over there you can also find illustrated versions of Hail Satan, brought to you by Matt. And you can also click a link that will take you to our fan Discord, which is the Destructo Discord.
Where you will find
where you can join us to talk about the show. You can find incredible Photoshops.
And if you hate Marin as much as we do, bring the conversation over.
Sure, I would love that. If you have a defense for Marin, I'd love to hear that.
We will be nice.
I would be open-minded to somebody saying Marin was their favorite character.
We will be tough but fair.
I would fucking side-eye them, but I would be intrigued.
You'd like to hear what possible defense they could come up with for it.
If you would like, please rate and review the show on Apple Podcasts. And when you do that, give us a 4-star rating for Gohan.
Which we demand.
Give us the Gohan.
Purple Dragon Friend.
See, I don't know if you've watched the show, but Gohan has the 4-star Dragon Ball on his head at the beginning of the series. And
never
Goku's
again.
It has
Grandpa
been a,
Gohan.
It has been a while.
He passed the 4-star ball on to Goku, and that's what made it so important to him. It's the only thing he had to remember Goku by. And so that's why he passed it on to his son, Gohan. And it became like an important thing for him as well. And in the movie we're about to watch, it's actually like a central plot for. And I'm hoping that Tyler's actually going to like fade out of this into the ending theme song. And I'm going to stop talking now.
You may take or seem the same. If the road ahead you seem so cold and gray. When night never turns to day. Don't you be afraid, he'll fly away. Chala, Chala, no time to hesitate, don't want to search the earth, within it lies a magic surprise. Oh. Chala, Chala, be cool, don't be afraid, you got the power to get you through the night. Oh, Chala, Chala. No time to hesitate, don't search the earth. Within it by the magic surprise. Oh, Chala, Chala. Be cool, don't be afraid, you got the power to get you through the darkest night. Chala.